right. It's good to be with y'all this morning. We're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. This morning we're going to be looking at some reminders. And turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be looking at some reminders when you look at this text before I read it. Look for the beloved. So see how many times the word beloved will appear in this passage here. We see that this is from Peter to his beloved brother Paul, who he's writing to, and it's very much applicable to our lives today. Still, an outline for this message before I read for people that want to outline or want to take notes, and then also maybe you could go look at this on your own time and learn even more from it than what I did. But beloved number one we see is in verses 1 through 7, which is beloved, be reminded. Beloved number two we see is in verses 8 and 9, which is beloved, be informed and of good timing. Beloved number three we will see is in verses 10 through 16, which is beloved, be holy. And then beloved number four we see is in verses 17 and 18, which is beloved, be warned what we should be doing while we are waiting on Him. There are five beloveds in this text, but we're only going to look at four because that fifth one is when Peter's addressing his beloved brother Paul. So 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up in your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of the of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So, we trust that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of this scripture. One thing that just stood out to me this morning in the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you don't need to turn there, but I'm just going to read these verses, very familiar verses for us, and this was not something that I planned to say, but it jumped out to me as a reminder to us in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That word remembrance. And then verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped it, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament of my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" And that jumped out to me this morning when I and thinking about remembrance, that we do this to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do it at the beginning of the week. So start our week off remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. So many other churches don't do this. They might do it, I don't know, bi-weekly, monthly, whatever it might be. But I know with my flesh and my human tendencies, I forget very quickly. Very quickly, I can be so close to the Lord, and then instantly I'm far, far from things of the Lord. So just this remembrance of him on the first day of the week is very important, and it's such a blessing to do that. So stories about remembrance or reminders. When I did my student teaching, I thought about this when I was preparing this message about a year ago back in March when I did my student teaching. There was this little girl. She was a kindergartner. I was at an elementary school. I'll never again be at a school this great. It was, I mean, just wonderful. Like, teacher appreciation week, I got like hundreds of dollars in gift cards. Like, and now I'm at a school where it's terrible. But anyways, this little girl, kindergartner, she was the cutest thing. Her, she came in, she had got this little mermaid tail, like keychain, and she was playing with it, and my grandparents know the story, and she came into the gym, and I said, "Here, let me hold on to that for you so that you don't drop it and break it." Well, what did I do? I started playing with it, I dropped it, and I broke it. And so I went to her after class, and I was like, "I'm so sorry, I didn't want you to break this, but I broke it." So it was from her teacher's private box. She got a new one. It was no big deal. Well, the next week was right before Easter. She came in with bunny ears, and I walked up, and she was coming into the gym, and her teacher, Miss Geller, was coming with her. And I walked up, and I was like, "Let me take those bunny ears so you don't lose them or whatever." And the little girl said, "Here, Miss Geller, if I give them to Mr. Garrison, he'll just break them." And so it was a reminder to me just a week after that. I'd already forgotten about that little mermaid tail. And then the next week, she didn't forget that I broke her little prize box toy. But this past week at school, there was this little boy, and he had this like crystal that was like hooked to a little necklace or whatever. And he was playing with it and like throwing it across the gym. And so I took it from him. I was like, "Let me take this from you so you don't break it." And then I was like, "Oh, I need to go set this down on the table so that I don't play with it and break it." So I did not break his little crystal. But we all need reminders. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we have reminders. So we see a beloved appears five times in the text. And I already went over that outline. And, of course, another illustration would be that my notes are a reminder to me for this morning. So beloved number one that we see in verses 1 through 7. As humans, we all need reminders. We use planners and different things like that to help us remember things. I know that even this week, I went to work yesterday and I went to get my schedule to give it to my supervisor at the Coliseum. And I scheduled to work for 5 days in the month of June. And I came home and told Lisa, I was like, "These are the days I'm working." And she said, "Turner, that date's not going to work because that's Alex's wedding." I was like, "Oh, I forgot." And I had it on my planner on my phone because That's one thing. I'm used to having an actual planner, but now that I got to keep a schedule with her, I'm trying to learn on my phone. But as humans, we all need reminders. Sometimes we write reminders on our hands, right? At the Coliseum or at school, I might write something on my hand just so that I don't forget that I need to do whatever it is. But that reminder that I wrote on my hand is nothing compared to the reminder that the Lord Jesus Christ has on his hands from the iron nails, reminding him and us of what he did at Calvary. We see in verse 1, it comes to us personally to have pure minds by way of remembrance. If you'll look back at 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 15. Verse 12 and 15. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think I meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So we see he's not going to be negligent to remind us of these things. We see Peter's doing this. He will not be negligent. He repeats it over and over in just from verses 12 through 15. And he wants to establish us in the truth. He does this in past tense, present tense, and future tense. Past tense, what already happened. A present tense when he was talking about it there, and then the future tense where we're looking at it even now today because the Lord has not yet returned. We see in verse 2, back in chapter 3, we see in verse 2 it comes to us both prophetically and by way of the apostles, right? Because in verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles. Verse 3 is reminding us that there will be scoffers who will not believe. And we know that if you look back at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we see the first question in Scripture, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Right, we see that that's the first question in Scripture. And we see that he is ultimately trying to deceive Eve that she can eat of this fruit and is being a scoffer. And we see scoffers every day now. It's more and more prevalent in our society as farther away as we get from the Lord. And we see these scoffers, I think about them at school and at the Coliseum. It's so bad to the point to where at school they won't even let me do certain things. They don't want me to, pray with the team. I can't hold a Bible study with my team. I'm not supposed to. And I was talking to a coach this week who was subbing for the main lady that's there, but his name's Coach Watson. He said, every time I get off the bus, when I turn it off, I stand up, I say a few words, and then I pray. But he said, I never had to do this before, but I have to now. I have to tell them because of, and he says, he's older. He says he doesn't care. He'll say whatever he wants because if they want him to go, I mean, he's retired, it doesn't matter. He does this as a little side thing, but he says, because of our messed up laws, if you don't want to be a part of this prayer, you can see yourself off this bus right now. And we see that because of how wicked this world is, that we have scoffers around us all the time saying, you can't just have even a word of prayer on a bus before an athletic event without giving an out to the kids that might want to take an out. Never before has this really been an issue. But it is now. And so we see that there'll be scoffers in the last days. I know we see those at work, wherever you guys might work. We should be able to answer these scoffers And do we know where to look to in Scripture for promises of His return? And so a few scriptures that I wrote down, and there's many more, but John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. So John chapter 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And whether I go, ye know the way. Thomas said unto the Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we know that anything that the Lord says in Scripture is a promise, and it'll happen. Unlike me, when I say something to Liesl, oftentimes I say, this is what we're going to do, or this is what I'm going to do, and it doesn't happen. And a lot of times it doesn't happen because I forget, and I can't remember. Another passage that we can answer a scoffer with is in Revelation. There's several verses here to look at. Revelation 22. 22, and we're going to read verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then also in 22, verse 12. And behold, again, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then again, verse 22, chapter 22, verse 20. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so we see three times over and over, he says, behold, I come quickly. And it's hard to understand sometimes that he's coming quickly when we're like, Lord, where are you? Why haven't you come yet, right? But we saw, or we will see in this passage, that the Lord is long-suffering, right? In verses 5 and 6, we see that there was the flood mentioned, and the scoffers will say that that's not true, and we know that even science backs up that there's evidences of the flood because of sea creatures and different things up on the mountaintops, and you can see water levels, and there's I mean, science backs it up, but yet scoffers will say that that's not true, and that the Bible didn't say these things. And so we're going to move on. I may have missed something, but I tried to cover everything on that second page of notes that are a reminder to me. We're going to go to beloved number 2, which appears in verses 8 and 9. And now I know, Kenneth, why you always want to get your coffee over here when you're speaking. You got to keep your voice and your throat moist. Beloved number 2 that we see in verses 8 and 9. Be informed of God's timing, patience, and compassion. A story on that my sophomore, junior year of high school, again, going back to, you know, being able to remember things, and I feel like I have the worst memory ever, but being able to remember things, I can't even remember if this was my sophomore or junior year. I could go back and actually find out. But of high school, I went on this trip with a buddy of mine who was a grade older than me, on the soccer team. He was a really good guy, believer, really challenged me in high school, and we went to this camp, and it was not like Mountaintop, but similar. It was a Christian camp, and every time we went to do our meetings, it was a room similar to this one, actually, and big open space, tables, and there was no clocks in the room. There was a clock on the back of the wall, much like that one, but it just had a seconds hand ticking. So, I mean, you didn't know exactly what time it was. And on the clock, it was a seconds hand, and it said God's timing, right? And so the Lord could come back in the next 5 seconds. He could come back in 100 years. We don't know. We do know that he's long-suffering and that his timing is not our timing. But verses 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And again, we see that long-suffering and repentance. So we know that he's going to come quickly, but he's long-suffering and he's not willing that any should perish. There's a joke. I didn't make this joke, and I heard it from another brother, but a man asked God, "How long is a million years to you?" To which God said, "A million years is like a second." The man then asked, "How much is $1 million to you?" God said, $1 million is like a penny." To which the man replies, "Could you spare me a penny, Lord?" God smiled back and said, "Sure, just wait a second." So that was just another little illustration, funny joke to just like we read in verse 8, the Lord has 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day to the Lord. So his timing is not our timing. Both of these illustrations that I just gave y'all, shows us that God's time is not ours. And then verse 4, I saw this word repentance stuck out to me, as well as long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. I had to make a phone call this past week to a parent because of a situation that had happened in my locker room with him yelling some inappropriate things towards another student. And I gave it to admin, and they dealt with it. And then I gave it to him on Tuesday, and on Friday I got a note in my box that said that I needed to call this parent. And so I went to my administration, and I was like, I don't want to be blindsided by anything, so I just asked them, what to expect. And she was like, yeah, she was not happy that her son got ISS for a day and a half, which it should have been more for what he did. But anyways, I made this phone call, and the whole time she was arguing with me and saying that she was upset that her son got the punishment that he did, because her son would never do anything unprovoked, that her son would never do anything if he wasn't provoked, and that it was these other boys' fault that he said these things. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to go into the rest of the details of that story, but it made me think about repentance. She's not really sorry that her son did this. Her son's not sorry that he did this. He doesn't care. He'd do it again. It's not, I mean, and that's the sinful nature in our flesh in us. Our first response is not to, say, sorry, Kenneth, I did you wrong. That's not our first response. Our first response is to, protect number one, so to speak, in the world's eyes, defend yourself. Let's see. I had a note here. Oh, that's what it was. I was trying to remember. So a lot of times also too, true repentance is to say that you're sorry and you're not going to do this again. You got to, and of course we're humans, we're going to continue to make mistakes, but I found in just 2 months of, or not quite even 2 months being with Liesl, that a lot of times I would do something and I'll tell her, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that, I know that upset you, and literally the next day I do the same thing again. And she's like, Turner, you're not sorry if you did it again. I was like, no, I know. The Lord's working on me. But, and then, in both these, let's see, I already read that one. So that was the repentance piece that I wanted to say about the verses 8 and 9 of Beloved number 2. The Lord wants people to come to him more than we could ever want, let me rephrase that. The Lord, obviously, we want to see believers saved. That's why we are here. That's why we go out into the world and in our workforce and at Mountaintop and wherever it is you have a ministry you're called to, wherever you work. But the Lord is long-suffering. And again, I feel like I'm just saying this point over and over, but that's the reason he's not back yet. And I was listening to a message on the way up to Mountaintop, and I can't remember if Liesl was in the car with me or not. I think I listened to this message 3 or 4 times by Joe Reese, and he said something, and I'm not gonna say it right or exactly in the exact context he did, but he made a statement that imagine what it would be like to be there and have that last soul saved, and then the Lord says, "All right, he's coming back." Like, imagine that. I mean, it could be this summer. It could be up at camp. And that last, imagine what it would be like to lead that last soul to Christ. And then he's like, okay, I'm ready, let's go, right? That was in Joe Reese's message that I listened to two or three times. I think one of the times Lisa might have been in the car with me. But that was an interesting point to me that really stuck out to me. I was like, that would be really cool, like, to lead that last soul to Christ before he returns. And then another point at Mark Beebe's Bible study that I haven't gone to in a little while now because of moving and getting married and living farther away. But somebody there said, and I can't remember which gentleman it was, but this was about a year ago. He said, live a gospel-centered life. And that stuck with me even till now. I see, you know, 600 students a week at school, and that's just a ballpark number. But to see that many students, I need to have a gospel-centered life and be able to minister to these students. Beloved number three, we'll move on. We don't have a lot of time. I want to make sure I at least get in all of the four beloveds. Beloved number three in verses 10 through 16. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. All right, and I'll just stop there. But another illustration for all holy conversation and godliness is, and this was something that when I was doing student teaching as well, that stuck with me for some time, is my student teacher was on her phone during lunch break one time, and she was just scrolling Facebook and then turned to me, and I was working on something on my laptop, and turned to me and showed me her phone, and on it it said, if a mosquito landed on you and bit you and then flew away, would it be singing, there's power in the blood? But you truly want to be so holy that, you know, people just by conversation can be able to tell that, wow, something was really different about him. I wonder what that is. Or maybe they don't even wonder what that is because your whole conversation is centered around leading them to Christ or mentioning the Lord to them. I know at school it's a challenging thing because many people, you know, there's a lot of scoffers and it's hard to, you know, minister to them sometimes. And sometimes my flesh gets in the way and I get too worried about this, that, or the other and get too carried away in things that don't really matter. As we see here in this passage where I just read, the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So right there we see that none of this stuff even matters. And when we pass away, we can't take any of this stuff with us. And so why get so worked up over an email or making money or whatever it is? Because none of it's ours. And then another point here that I wanted to make was in all holy conversation and godliness, I was listening to and this is something that I've started doing recently, is I believe the station's 95.5. It's the Beat Bible Broadcast Network. I never really listened to that before. I usually would listen to country music or something that I shouldn't have been listening to. But for the last about month, I've been listening to this radio station. It's a very good station, great songs, hymns, and they do preaching and they do, you know, kids stories and stuff too. But on that radio station there was a gentleman, can't tell you his name, but he was talking about how he was working with another fellow believer on, he was just struggling with not doing well, and he was working with this believer, discipling him, trying to help him, and his car was in the shop, and I don't know the exact story, I'm butchering it, but the point is his car was in the shop, he had to use one of the station's vehicles, and when he got in this the company vehicle, as soon as he turned it on, loud blaring secular rock music turned on. And like it was so loud, he cut it off. And I think he even said it was a cassette tape to date how long ago that was. But he popped it out, and then he was like, well, whose vehicle is this? And it quickly dawned on him that it was the person that he'd been trying to disciple, and or not trying to, but been helping. And he this gentleman that he was helping was just keep struggling with different things. And so he went to him, and in a loving way was like, if you're listening to this stuff, it's what you put into your body is what's going to come out, right? And so in all holy conversation and godliness, we need to be looking forward to and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. And so that's in all aspects of our life. I'm speaking to myself here when I say this. And that's how we spend our free time, how we use the money that the Lord has allowed us to have, relationships, friendships, school, work, the music we listen to, movies that we watch, etc. A quick story. Wasn't planning on saying this either, but when me and Lisa got married, like we would watch movies, and the movies I like and the movies she like are this far apart, man. I'm telling you, like what I like is not what she likes. And for the first like month, and we haven't been married long, but for the first month, like we'd be watching a movie and I'm loving it. I'm all into this movie, and she's just upset, just like I visibly upset. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you upset? And well, this is how this message is speaking to me. That was ultimately not a movie I should have been watching. Not that it was that bad, but it just shows how far I had drifted and allowed to, you know, let these movies that I shouldn't be watching. Anyways, so we're doing better on that. But we need to have holy conversation and looking forward to and hastening to the coming of the Lord and all that we do. Our last beloved is number four, which is be warned in verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And so this is a warning to be on guard. Beware that you may not be led away from your own steadfastness. A good reminder to me when thinking about this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me turn there real quick. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Right, and so that's a good reminder there that the Lord's not going to tempt us past what we are able to take, and that He will give us a way to escape. And we see there's temptations around us daily, like I just said, with even just watching movies that maybe we shouldn't be watching, or listening to music that we not necessarily that it's really bad, but it's worldly, right? And it's not. You know, if somebody were to get in my truck right now and turn it on, just like this illustration that I gave from this man from the radio, but if somebody got in my truck right now and turned it on, it would turn on 95.5. And it would not be blaring loud, and it would be whatever was on that station at that time, whether it be a gospel hymn, a message, a kid's story, sharing the gospel. But if you would have turned on my Camry back when I lived with my grandparents, there ain't no telling what it might have come out of that radio or out of that speaker system. And so that's just a good reminder to be on guard lest you fall. And we all fall daily, whether it be inwardly and nobody knows. Liesl doesn't even know, just driving down the road and I have a thought that I shouldn't have. or I think something that I shouldn't. We all fall. And sometimes it's inwardly, sometimes it's outwardly. It can be outwardly and you're by yourself. You could be driving down the road and you get upset because somebody cut you off and you yell something and nobody else is in that car. Nobody heard what you said, and that would be more inwardly too. But we all fall daily, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm standing here that I, you know, haven't just gone completely doing things that I shouldn't be doing and things of that matter. And Liesl knows all too well that, you know, being married, I found out quickly that a lot of things that I struggled with, nobody knew. Nobody knew that this was something that, you know, this is an issue. Now somebody knows, and it's very humbling and eye-opening. But it's to show that it's only by the grace of God that we haven't fallen, and that we need to stay steadfast daily in our word, in the word of God. And again, going back to that remembrance piece, that every day, not every day, at the beginning of each week on Sunday, we start with the Lord's Supper. And such a beautiful reminder of these emblems that were just right here in front of us, of the body broken and the blood shed for us. And it's just such a good reminder for us to remember that every week. Like I said, a lot of churches, they do not do that. And to me, that's a very important piece, to just be reminded weekly, and then, of course, daily in your individual walks with the Lord. A story that I'll finish with real quick is, and this will go for any sports too, but my wrestling coach used to say that the best defense is a great offense. And so many times I lost very many matches because I got very crafty in ways in wrestling, and a lot of you guys don't know the first thing about a wrestling match. But, and it goes for other sports too, but a lot of times I'd let them get my leg. I'd let them get in, and then I'd find a way to scramble out of this situation and score points. And I got very good at it. I had a teammate, Carson Smith. He was very good at it. He played defense, and you could not score on him. And he won 3 state titles. It worked for him somehow. Didn't work for him in college, though, because he ended up quitting because he couldn't. It didn't work. It ended up catching up with him in college. It worked in high school, but it didn't work in college. The point is, the best defense is a great offense. I probably would have won more matches if I would have focused on my offense and not just let them get in on my legs. And so with that, my point is be on the offense. Be reading your Bible daily. And I'm speaking to myself when I say this. Be on reading your Bible daily. Be praying daily. Not just like once a day, but in every situation. Grandpa, this just came to me too, but Grandpa, and I don't know the lady's name, but he said there was a lady that he knew that she wouldn't even answer the phone without praying first. He said that she'd pick up the phone, and if she hadn't prayed yet, she'd drop it and pray, and then go back and answer that phone call. So, in prayer, in reading our Bible, and everything. And then the last thing that I'll end with before opening it up for the men for just any points that they might have is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that should be on our minds daily, that we should be looking for opportunities to witness to others, and that the Lord is long-suffering, but he will return, and it will be quickly. How quickly, in our point of view, might not be quickly, but in the span of eternity, it is quickly. I will say, just based on that outline before I close in a word of prayer, is if you did take notes on that outline of those four beloveds and those titles, if you go back in your own time, I trust and I know that the Lord will be able to show you things and bring things out that maybe I planned to bring out and I didn't, or something that I didn't bring out that the Lord will show you in your own time in this world. We'll just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that through him, through his body broken and blood shed, Lord, that we have the ability to come to you. And we know, Lord, that you will come quickly, Lord, and you're coming again one day. We have that promise in your word of God, Lord, and we know that many people deny this and there's many scoffers, Lord, but we pray that we would be lights in this dark world for you, Lord, that we would bring our light out into our different places where we work and go to school and different things, Lord, that we would be a light for you. We thank you again for your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.